Joining me on the line now, Michael Froelich from the National Biodiesel Board. Michael, of course, the dollar a gallon federal biodiesel tax credit has cleared the U.S. Senate. Good news, I would say.
This is fantastic news. It couldn't be better. Yesterday, it passed the procedural hurdle, and as soon as there was the first vote that the Senate took on today. So that was fantastic news to see that the Senate acted so quickly on such a critical issue for the biodiesel industry. So now we have it passed in both the House and the Senate, just in different versions of a bill. So the two chambers need to reconcile their differences and get it to the president to sign into law as soon as possible. It's really kind of an immediate need for the industry at this point. The longer it lapses, the more jobs will be lost, the more jobs will potentially be lost, hours will be cut back, and we'll also lose the benefits of, a healthy domestic fuel-producing industry, such as the biodiesel industry.
Now, of course, most people are fairly familiar with the tax credit, but kind of review for our audience. What will this do if it gets passed?
Well, what this is an extension of former law. It'll be retroactive for 1 year, so it'll go back to January 1, 2010, and it'll be a dollar a gallon blender's credit that is feedstock neutral that will last through the entire year of 2010, which is starting January 1 and expiring December 31st, 2010. And the NDB's top priority at the moment is to get this back into place, and we hope that folks can call their members, elected officials, the House and Senate, to let them know that it's critical to get the bills reconciled and a final form sent to the president as soon as possible. But, our long-term goal is to achieve a multi-year tax credit, production credit, that will provide some more stability with the industry, so we're not going back to the well each year looking for a reissue of the tax incentives.
Well, and you just kind of touched on it there, talking about how, this gets you by for the rest of this year, but gosh, are we going to come up in December, end of December again, and be faced with the same thing that we were hit with at the end of 2009?
Yeah, unfortunately, yes. At this point, as the current bill is slated, they will reconcile. It will be put back into place at this point. It's just too early to tell how they're going to do that. But it does go to December 31st, 2010. Clearly, the NDB's Federal Affairs team is going to be working nonstop, and it's our number one priority at this point to get a multi-year tax extension, so they can provide some stability and federal policy framework for businesses to not only survive but to grow and thrive and enhance our domestic fuel capabilities here, right here at home, for renewable fuels.
How concerned are you, though, that since this is not a multi-year deal, that maybe it could be a bit of a hollow victory, just because you don't really have much guarantee past the end of this year?
No, you don't. I'm not terribly concerned. It certainly isn't comforting to know that it's expiring, but at the same time, tax extenders usually towards the end of the year have gotten passed and put into legislative vehicles. What we saw last year was kind of unprecedented with the Senate and health care. The Senate actually being until December 24th, Christmas Eve. I believe that was the first time they were in since Christmas Eve in over 50 years. So we saw health care kind of taking up all the oxygen in the room. And while the House had passed their version of the tax extension, the Senate never got to it. And really what happened is the legislative clock ticked down and it hit Christmas Eve and they finished up their number one priority as set forth by the president and the majority leader in the Senate, and they went home. Before they left, they acknowledged the importance of the tax extenders, specifically Senate Finance Chairman Max Baucus and Ranking Member Grassley spoke on the floor talking about this particular issue, that it was important. So although it's, as you said, a slightly bit of a hall victory in the sense that we're going to have to go back to the drawing table once this gets enacted to make sure that it continues to get enacted next year in 2011, it's traditional that they do pass these extenders, and we haven't seen any objection from any senator or House member elected official on the biodiesel tax incentive. It's garnered a wide variety of bipartisan support because of all the benefits it brings to, from not only from the farm community, but the transportation community, environmental community, energy independence, national security. So it really brings so many benefits to the table, which is why I'm fairly confident that moving forward, we will be able to achieve a place where we can have a multi-year extension.
Of course, this version of the bill, it passed on the back of the jobs bill. What are you hearing from the House side? Any possible objections? Is there anything that could derail this?
At this point, we haven't heard a whole lot. After the bill was passed, there wasn't a motion to conference. Yet there's been a new Ways and Means chairman since former Chairman Rangel stepped down. And the new chairman, Mr. Levin, has indicated he'd like to see a conference. Whether that's formal or informal, we don't know. But what's important is that it needs to get reconciled and addressed immediately so it can get sent to the president. Further delay isn't really acceptable. It's taken them long enough to get to this point with a biodiesel tax incentive.
Are you surprised it took this long to get the measure through?
Yes and no. I was very surprised to see that the Senate leadership had stripped it out of the first jobs bill when it was in there in what seemed to be a very broad bipartisan package. I was not only surprised, but very disappointed. The Senate Majority Leader said that they were looking for a jobs agenda. And I think the biodiesel industry called and reminded him that part of the jobs agenda is not only to create jobs, but also to make sure that new jobs or existing jobs aren't lost.
Yes, especially the 23,000 that are in the biodiesel sector.
Exactly. There's 23,000 that are really in immediate jeopardy. If this were to play out even longer and it doesn't get signed into law, there's certainly more jobs that are going to be lost. Some of these smaller operations just simply cannot continue to stay afloat when there's zero production because there's no demand. When they're not selling fuel, they're not making money, and they can't continue to do that. So, there's a breaking point, and it's different for each company, but much longer, and it's going to be devastating industry-wide. So that's why we're urging that the Senate and the House work together swiftly to come to a compromise.
Michael, some good information. Anything else I guess you'd like our audience to understand about what has passed and what you expect to come in the next few days, coming weeks?
Well, I guess just to reinforce the fact that, it has passed the Senate, it's passed the House, but, we're not at the end of the road yet, so we still need to keep on calling our elected officials and letting them know that they need to reconcile these bills to get a final version that's identical, that both the chambers agree on to get to the president to sign into law, and that further delay just is not acceptable anymore. So if we're serious about creating jobs and saving jobs, this is the first step in doing so.
Michael Froelich with the National Biodiesel Board's Washington, D.C. office. Michael, thanks for talking to us.
My pleasure.